We're in the fourth lesson of the series that we started, Living with Hope in a Broken World. And of course, I don't need to spend any time telling you that we live in a broken world. Things are broke that didn't used to be, but we can have hope in the world that we live in. And so far, we've had a lesson on the basis for our hope. Of course, Jesus is our basis for our hope, the expression of our hope, how we show that hope in this world. We had a blessing of the testimony of our hope. And then this morning, the endurance of our hope. And we can endure suffering because of our hope in Christ. Now, nobody chooses to suffer. Okay? No, I mean, if you had a choice to suffer or not suffer, I know what all of us would choose. We would choose not to suffer. And we will do everything possible to avoid suffering. I mean, to avoid pain, conflict, rejection. But it happens. It happens to everybody, and it even happens to Christians. And sometimes, and it happens in other parts of the world more than it does here, and it surely happened in Peter's day, Christians suffered because of their obedience to Christ. I mean, there are people all over the world today that are being killed just because they name the name of Christ. No other reason. I mean, they're not revolting against the government. They're not sowing insurrection. They're not doing anything like that. They name the name of Christ, and they're suffering. In some cases, paying the ultimate price, giving their life, because they name the name of Christ. Here's the good thing for us as Christians. The good thing is that we don't go through suffering alone. We don't go through suffering alone. And I'll just give you a little preview. I'm going to touch on this same theme in my message this morning. But we don't go through suffering alone. The Holy Spirit is there with us to encourage us, to strengthen us, to give us what we need to go through the suffering. And we as Christians need to claim that strength and that comfort so that when we do go through suffering, that others can see it. Others can see it, and we can be a testimony to them. And I'm going to mention it in my message, as other people look at us, as other people look at Christians, they ought to say, they have something that I don't have. They have something I don't have, and I want to have it. And what we have is Jesus Christ. What we have is the hope that's in him. And so we need to live it. We need to show it. And that's what Peter instructed his readers as he wrote to them in the day that they lived in, and the instructions are just as good for us today. So, with that bit of introduction, I want Brother Bill to come and lead us in the lesson this morning.
Praise the Lord! It is a great day to be alive. What a joy to be in the house of the Lord with Christian believers seeking the nourishment of God's holy word. As I was shaving this morning and looking in the mirror, I happened to think it wasn't all good, but I happened to think of the news in the world today is always bad. The media chooses not to report the good, but they always report the bad. And when we come into this house, we have peace, we have contentment, and we know when we walk through these doors that somewhere between there and when we walk out, we will be blessed. We will feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. That's a comforting, comforting feeling. Our study of the Bible is God's light toward the world. And it enriches our lives and encourages us to live that holy word and be an example for others. And that is very, very important for every Christian. Be an example for others, especially the lost, that they may change their lives and they themselves become fruitful partners in the spreading of the gospel. Thank you for being here today, and may God's blessings and comforts shower you and lighten your burdens. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we call upon you today to touch our hearts. Give the Holy Spirit to us that he may guide, protect, and comfort us. Life is not a bowl of cherries, but you have made it a joy. It is a joy to be in the presence of the Lord, not just here, but in our automobile, in our home, in our workplace. And Lord, we just thank you so much, for we know that you are true, that you are constant, that you are eternal. And we can always count on you and your blessings. Help us, Lord, this day, that we may be an example to somebody else, and that they come to Jesus, and that they are examples to others. We pray for a revival in this church, in this community, in our state, in our country. Lord, we need prayer from Christians to get on your knees. Get on your knees and pray for forgiveness of your sins. Change your ways, and by that doing, God will heal our land. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The point of our lesson today is we can endure suffering because of our hope in Jesus. I probably went through the worst year and a half of my life, and I faced it with sadness, terrible, terrible news to have your daughter call you from the hospital and say, "Dad, I'm in the hospital. I have a 100% blockage in my colon, and I'm fearful it's cancer." That's not supposed to happen. That's not supposed to happen to your kids. But we prayed. And that was the first thing we did, was pray to our Lord. That's our first defense in everything. Get on our knees and pray. God will answer us. And in this case, did he ever answer us? My daughter now runs 5 miles a day. She's almost 60. She looks 40. The smile never leaves her face. We received the news that in 2 weeks' time, her tumor had shrunk enough that she could leave the hospital. She changed her diet. She changed her ways. Her sister is an herbalist, and she studied the Bible for the foods needed to sustain her. And of course, the doctors wanted to do surgery the day she went in the hospital. She said no. Then he wanted to do chemo. She said no. A year later, the tumor that she had was still in her. It was very, very small. She had no effects from it at all, and she chose to have it removed because she didn't want it to spread. It was removed. It took her just a couple of months to totally heal from that. And now she's living a fruitful life. She is such an example to anybody that knows her or talks to her. And she has comforted and gave direction in the Bible to many, many people since she has been healed. Shortly after my daughter was healed, we lost a grandson. He was hit by an automobile in Detroit, killed instantly, 30 years old. He was waiting to enter school as a graduate student down at Wayne State University, had his whole life before him. He knew Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. That got us through the agony of losing someone that close to us. There is adversity in life. There is suffering in life. But God will bring you through. And I can face life today in joy because I know my grandson is in heaven right now, looking down and probably urging me to say something different than I'm saying. We need to be an example. We need to help others. The scripture we will be concentrating on today will be found in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8, 17. It applies very nicely to the broken world in which we live. Please follow along with me as I read the passage. 1 Peter chapter 3, 8 through 17. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, ye all are called by Jesus Christ to do his ministry, that ye should inherit the blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is it that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? And if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. They can't lay a hand on you, folks. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, and with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you, as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. They'll pay the price. For it is better if the will of God be so that ye suffer for well doing than for evil doing. Now we have concluded the first half of our 6-week session of Living with Hope in a Broken World. This is a reminder to you that Peter was writing the Gentile Christians, and he was doing so when the world was really broken. It was at the peak of the persecution of Christians under the madman Nero, the Roman emperor. Untold numbers of Christians were enslaved imprisons or put to death. All Christians lived in fear, but also in hope. The book of 1 Peter is a book about suffering, but also of glory. Peter wishes to exhort these troubled Christians to remain steadfast in their faith in Jesus Christ in order to face the challenges of living in a troubled world. Peter writes that sustaining our faith in Jesus in troubled times encourages the hope that we need to endure through any struggle. The message of Peter applies to us living in this broken world today. The theme is as contemporary today as the day it was written. Christians are seeing the beginnings of persecution in this country. People I know have been banned from social media for mentioning the gospel and Jesus Christ, commenting on their beliefs. Some of these men are local Gideons. We must prepare our hearts for the struggles that are upon us. While we have never been more broken than today, hope abounds. Jesus is alive. The Holy Spirit is here in the house of Jesus and is available for anyone that seeks him. Glory be to God for the peace he provides and the grace he showers us with. That is the sustaining grace that gets us through the tribulations of life. 1 Peter 3:1-12. It tells us about godly living in our personal lives. Our lesson starts with verse 8, but I urge you to read and study verses 1-7 for a blessing. I think verse 3, chapter 3, verse 4, sums up what is contained there. 1 Peter 3:4. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. I never thought of myself being meek and a mild spirit, but I'm becoming that. God's working on me. And boy, do I feel better about it. It's much more of a joy to have a mild spirit than to be ready to defend yourself all of the time. Verses 3:8-12, which our study guide calls a series of summary statements, maturity checkpoints, if you will, for personal evaluation of our spiritual lives. For personal evaluation of our spiritual lives. If you lack in any of these, you're lacking. You're lacking. These verses really talk about where the rubber hits the road or how we really live our lives. Starting with Peter 3:8. Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Finally, this word is a transition from the first 7 verses, which have been a blessing, which are telling us how to live our lives. But now we're into something else. It's a transition that's meant for all Christians as instructions on how to live a godly life using the gospel as our guide. You all know people say, I lead a good life. I should go to heaven. What do you base that on? Well, I base that on I give to the church. I do these nice things. I mow my neighbor's lawn once in a while. And, you know, I'm just a good person. Compared to Jesus, he gave it all. He gave it all. We need to use the gospel as our guide in our lives. Be ye all of one mind. This calls for unity of the entire Christian fellowship, to stick with the principles of the Bible and not to worry about the peripheral issues that are usually man-made arguments not worth the time or energy better spent on the study of God's holy word. I seldom read articles written by the theologians. Most of their positions are not based on what's written in the Bible, but how they feel. And it's hard for any of us to get our own personal feelings out of this. Be subjective when you read the Bible. There's always the possibility it's talking to you, like every time you pick it up. It is our guide to a peaceful and happy life. Be ye all of one mind. This calls for the unity of the entire Christian fellowship, the unity of the church. The central thing is Jesus is our personal Savior. He died for our sins. And I know people that go to church and question the redemption. They think all of the old Bible stories are myths, fairy tales, good for entertaining the children in Sunday school. They are real. There are reasons why God gave us the story of Jonah and the whale. It precludes the death of Christ going into the tomb and going into hell when Jonah spent 3 days in the belly of a fish. It's like foretelling what's going to happen. Like Jonah was vomited out of the fish, and God made him, he still was in rebellion, but God made him see the light, and he began a ministry. Jesus came forth from the tomb and continued his ministry, continued the showering of love. Having compassion one of another, take grave concern for the feeling of others. Don't just, oh, I'm so sorry that that's happened. Feel it. Feel the pain because you are so concerned with your brethren. Love as brethren. We should love another as if they are family, as if they are our brothers and sisters. That's easy to do in this church. This church exemplifies love. I'm so proud to be a part of it. I'm proud to know all of you. And I just see the peace that it pervades with the people that come and enter into this church. And I thank God for the example that we have in our pastor. I came to this church, and 1 week I said, this is something special. But I don't make rash decisions. I thought about it and thought about it, and I came 1 more week. At the 2nd week, I told the pastor, this is my church. This is my church. I'm going to Florida, but I'll be back in the spring. I'm sure he'd been told that before, but I'm in it, and we love it, and we love you. Take grave concern and love as the brethren. Jesus set the example. His love was shown for all when he died on the cross for all who would believe. While we were yet sinners, he died for us. Be pitiful. Now, that doesn't mean to be terrible. It means to be tender-hearted. Respond with great feeling when others are in pain. Truly try to put yourself in their shoes. Truly try to put them all in your prayers. It's a full-time job because there's a lot of suffering in this world. Be courteous. Treat all with kindness and humility. That's not always easy to do, but it's what God wants us to do. Verse 9, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing. Our natural inclination is to do just what it says, rendering evil for evil and railing for railing. Somebody shouts at you, you shout back. That's not God's way. That's the world's way. Contrarywise, bless those that do evil unto you. Pray for those that may be your enemies. Knowing that ye are thereunto called. That's what God wants us to do. We are called in order that we should inherit a blessing. That's the believers. Respond with good. Bless whoever is offending you. You're a believer. And he really can't lay a glove on you. But you can, by your example, turn that person to Jesus Christ. And we should try to do that. Matthew 5:44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Do not be like the world. Follow what it says here in Matthew. Hard to do. Impossible to do. But in Christ all things are possible. For verse 10, for he that will love life and see good days, let them refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that they speak no guile, blessing. For the love of life and see good days. You want to have a happy life? You want to see good days here on earth? You're certainly going to see them in heaven if you follow this. Peter is telling us the path to the good life in verses 10 and 11. In order to follow his wisdom, our heart has to be right with God. Then it's possible to do all the things that Peter is telling us we should do and how we should live. Let him refrain his tongue from evil. No bad language. No harmful or negative talk towards others. If you feel peace, you'll speak peace. And his lips, that they speak no guile. Our words should contain no deceit, no half-truths, only the truth. That's how a Christian should act. Blessing. As told in Matthew 5:44, our mouth should be used for blessing our brethren and our enemies, that we may be blessed as an example. You get what you receive. You receive what you give. Let him, verse 11, let him eschew evil. Him. Let the Christian eschew evil. evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Eschewing evil is to avoid all evil and the appearance of evil. And to do good, do only that which is right and beneficial. Never do anything that is harmful. Let him seek peace. Let the Christian seek peace. We should actually seek for harmony and harmonious relationships. Ensue it. Pursue tranquility. Pursue tranquility. Try it. I have. It works. When you look for it, you can find it. But if you go around grumbling all the time, returning terrible language for terrible language, you're not going to find tranquility. You're not going to find peace. You're not going to be an example and lead that person to Christ. For the eyes of the Lord, verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. The righteous are those that believe in Jesus Christ in this context as the Savior. And the eyes of the Lord are watching over us. The eyes of the Lord are on us. They are watching over us as a parent does for a child. We used to go hiking. Had twin girls. Sometimes I felt like we should have a rope on them. And we'd walk along a ridge or something, and naturally they had to run right to the edge. Full speed, running right to the edge. Didn't you as a parent rush right over there and grab them? Wouldn't you? You want to protect them. You want to see that they fall into no harmful setting. That's what God does for us. If God had not been looking after me, I'd have been gone as a teenager. I have lived through a half a dozen very, very life-threatening calls. I was in the Air Force. I refueled airplanes. While I was over in Germany, I had two separate refueling units catch on fire. The fire department ran away. I ran up on top of the 5,000-gallon tanker with a fire extinguisher. And as I ran on up on top, it was burning jet fuel, and it went out. It went out. I saw it, flames this high, and all of a sudden, nothing. Nothing. All it takes is a little bit of fumes to get in with that jet fuel. Bye-bye. Had another time the tractor caught on fire as I was hauling fuel up in the mountains. They had a big drum on the drive shaft, and they had an emergency brake that you pulled right here. And it was adjustable, of all things. Guys drive down the road, they get nervous, and they twist that handle, and they'd adjust that thing right up so that the brake was dragging on that brake shoe, which was packed with grease and all of that stuff. I was driving to Germany, and all of a sudden I was going down through the mountain, and I saw a Volkswagen drive off the road, 30, 40 feet, going up the side of the mountain. I said, that crazy German. Probably half a mile later, another one did it. So that guy's crazy. What's the matter with them? Oh, maybe something's wrong. I let my foot off the gas, and all of that smoke filled the cab, came right up. It was a canvas top. All of the smoke filled that. I couldn't hardly see the road. I slammed the brakes on. I jumped out. Here's this big fire on this drive shaft where the emergency brake was touching. And it was burning like crazy. A 50-gallon tank of gas here and a 50-gallon tank of gas here, 5,000 gallons on the back. I pulled the lever and dropped that refueling unit right in the middle of the road. Right in the middle of the road. It was so heavy, it went right through the pavement. And I drove up ahead 50 yards, got the fire extinguisher, put the stuff out. God put the fire out. I had a buddy that was with me. He was supposed to be helping me out. He ran up the mountain. God takes care of his. God watches over us. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against him that doeth evil. The righteous are those who believe in Christ Jesus as the Savior. And the eyes of the Lord are watching over his children. And his ears are open unto their prayers. To us Christians, God grants God wants to hear from us. That's our means of communicating with God, is through prayer. He wants to hear our prayers. He wants to meet our needs. He wants to hear our praise. And he wants to hear our thanks for all of the grace and blessings that we have received, that he has bestowed upon us. We must keep the lines of communication open. God is available all the time, and he wants us to speak to him. He wants us to meet him where he desires, not when it's convenient for us. But the face of the Lord is against him that do evil. God cannot look upon sin. He turns away from sinners. Until the days sinners turn to Christ and believe upon him as their path to eternal life, as their personal Savior, they are deprived of all God's blessing in this life that the righteous presently enjoy. You enjoy them every day. And they are doomed. Those that do not know Jesus are doomed for eternity. Pray for the lost. And who is he that will harm you? If ye be followers of that which is good, Proverbs 16:7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. He makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Now, verse 13 is all positive. You can really feel good when you read that. Why would anyone harm you for doing good? Now we go to the next verse. But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But, this is the signal. There's a transition here. Something contrary to verse 13 may be about to happen. And that could be that if you suffer for righteousness' sake, if the Christian believer suffers for their faith, happy are ye. We're not immune from suffering. And the way the world's going, it looks like we're going to get some. Happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Matthew 5. 10 to 12. This is part of the Beatitudes. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Verse 15, but sanctify the Lord in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and in fear. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Set apart God in your hearts as being holy, and be ready always to give an answer. When the opportunity presents itself, be prepared ahead of time with a simple, articulate answer for the basis of the hope that is in you. We can always start with the historical proof of the resurrection from the dead of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Have a ready answer for anybody that questions your faith. Having a good conscience, that whereof they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Whether it be in this world or the next, they're going to pay the price. God will take care of it. God will make retribution for anything that you may suffer. They may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ, either in this life or on judgment day, there will be a reckoning for them. It is better if the will of God be so that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. If you're going to suffer, do it for Jesus' sake, not for some sin that you have created. Lord, we thank you this day for all thy many words, blessing that we have found in our scriptures today. We thank you for the constants in our lives that you provide us. And we have the eternal hope of eternal life granted us through the salvation of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Be with us this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.